Welcome to episode 75.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the Road Trek Jennifer and I travel in, a great big Class A motorhome, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, even if you dry camp out of your car or a tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, well, this show is for you. We talk about being out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside, as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the Podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class B RVs from three locations. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. And Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, lots coming up. A very full episode for you this week as we talk about everything from getting rid of stinky odors in those black tanks on our RVs to security devices for an RV. We've got a great off-the-beaten-path report for those of you who will be visiting Niagara Falls and the Buffalo, New York area. Lots of cool things to see around there. We've got a report on that. But in our traveling tech section this week, we have a great interview with a digital expert who is going to pass along a whole bunch of smartphone hacks or little tricks you can do with your smartphone that will allow you to save on data charges, to maximize your battery, maximize the efficiency of your smartphones. I guarantee no matter how much you think you know about your Android or your iPhone, I guarantee you're going to get some great tips in this interview. So stay tuned. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
It has been quite a week.
Oh, it has been a week.
You have a little bit of a cold, which you contracted from
our granddaughter,
Jovi, Miss Jovi.
Miss Jovi was sick when last week, Tuesday, as soon as we got done with the podcast, we drove to the other side of the state of Michigan and spent a few days babysitting.
Man, does that wear you out?
Oh, it was so much fun.
Jovi's 10 months old.
10 months old, and she was a very sick little girl.
She was sick, and you, I think, have her cold, but it was worth the hit, wasn't it?
It was worth the hit. We had some quality face-to-face time. I mean, we didn't do anything except entertain Jovi.
Yep, and it was really fun, but boy, did we sleep well at night. Let's see, last Monday was my birthday, and
Friday was my birthday.
Friday was your birthday, and then Saturday came along, and we were very delighted because all of our kids, all of our adult children were here, all three of them.
With their spouses
and six of our seven grandkids. Zachary couldn't make it. He's at college down in Georgia. But his dad, our son Scott, and Lori, his wife, and their three boys that are still at home, flew up to join us for our family birthday party for Jennifer and me on Saturday. Wendy, our daughter, and our son Jeff were here, and everything was going great until
our daughter came and brought in a puppy.
A puppy. We are not sure what to make of this gift. We had no idea.
What was good, they didn't ask.
Yes, if they had asked, we would have said no.
We would have said no. Your father's recovering from surgery. It's winter time. You don't get a dog in winter. It's hard to housebreak a dog in the winter.
You have a cold.
Well, I didn't have a cold.
But in they came. My daughter came in singing happy birthday and carrying a brand new 10-week-old Norwegian elk hound who well, the dog that we traveled all of our RV experience, many of you met Ty, and Ty passed away rather suddenly, really, last summer.
It was a couple of years before he should have. He should have had a longer life expectancy.
But he died at the age of 12, and Ty was just such a mellow dog, and a Norwegian Elkhound.
And we got him at the age of 7.5 months.
So we didn't have to go through
puppy stage. We didn't go through puppy stage.
And he was just a sweet boy, really great dog. And as you all know, because we've shared on with you, and many of you met him, it was just a major void in our life. So I think our daughter and our other kids decided that we needed to fill that void.
That's because they probably heard you at Christmas time saying you were expecting a puppy at Christmas.
Well, I was afraid. Well, first we thought that road trek, our road trekking friends were buying one. These little things that
You see, they probably know not to because you were just recovering from surgery.
Right, they're smarter than our kids.
And so we raised our kids.
So we got through Christmas, and I did say to my daughter, I said, "Wow, I was really worried you guys were going to bring us a dog." She said, "Well, you would have taken one if we got one, right?" I said, "Well, sure. We're thinking about getting one in our own time when we're ready." Well, we weren't ready. ready.
I couldn't believe it. They brought in puppy, and puppy is wonderful
wait a minute.
And beautiful.
Let's put the blame where it really is. It's on you. Because, most of you know we're Christians, and we do pray. What was your prayer?
Well, when I would miss Ty, which I'm kind of sappy today because I'm half sick and tired.
Yeah, but when you miss Ty.
When I would miss Ty, I would just send up a prayer that if there is a dog out there that would fit well into our lifestyle, that God would bring it into our lives.
And so our daughter, Wendy.
But then you got upset with me because you said, "We're not doing anything to cause this to happen."
Yeah, I thought it was a sort of a wussy, silly prayer. And, we weren't looking for a dog. And really, it's been 6 months, and it's a great sense of freedom.
Well, we had to get you healed from your
surgery. Yeah, but that's all over water under the bridge. But in comes this little dog. He is now, I just took a picture of him. He was about ready to bite the microphone as he was sitting on your lap. He is really a cute dog.
Oh, he is a little ball of energy, and he's a beautiful little puppy. And I didn't realize how much I would miss Ty as when they brought in this little guy.
Yeah, you almost feel like you're
disloyal.
Like you're disloyal to Ty. But actually, we've just debated, what are we going to call this animal? So We shared, a lot of us, our kids, Jeff, who's very active on our Facebook group and is part of the road trekking community. Jeff was posting photos of our reaction, and then we came up with three names, and one of them was Bo, in sort of honor of Ty, who we called Ty Bo,
exercise.
Yeah, the Ty Bo exercise. So we said, we'll call him Bo, and that's what everybody
somebody
voted.
Recommended that name as well.
So we did that, and since then, it hasn't resonated, although I kind of like
the
name.
You like the name Trek.
I like the name Trek.
I think that's a little hard to say.
Trek. And then you'd call him Trekkie, and people would think he's a Star Trekkie, and you'd have to explain it. But anyway, so I think he's named Bo, even though we were told by a trainer.
Someone suggested Willie.
Willie was kind of cool, because Willie Nelson on the road again. And then somebody suggested
Trek. Somebody suggested Loki, which is a good name for a Norwegian Elkhound, but the first Elkhound in our lives, your nephew's Elkhound, was Loki.
Yeah, years ago. I don't know if you can hear that squeaking back there. That's Bo, or whatever we're going to call
Bo.
Him.
It's Bo.
Okay, it's Bo. Do you hear that, folks? It's official. But our Facebook group was right in it. We had, in an hour, 170 votes on those three names, something like that. And many of you have been sending us email, telling us, don't stress, it's going to be great. But I got to tell you, I don't know if I'm too old to go through this puppy stuff.
You can't turn your back.
Not one second.
The fringe on the rugs, the steps going in on the carpet, the carpeted steps going into our great room, the artificial plants.
This dog
is safe.
Everything at 10 months.
Not 10 months, 10 weeks.
10 weeks, 10 weeks. I'm exhausted.
Healthy.
And we usually record this on Tuesday, and I'm sitting here late in the afternoon because we've spent every minute, watching this thing.
I thought of the name Shadow because yesterday he was our shadow. He stuck to us like glue, but Elkhounds are extremely independent dogs. And the spirit of adventure, he has realized how cool it is out there.
This is day three of him, and he's already now kind of wandering off. Somebody suggested we call him, my favorite, but somebody said we should call him Tucker because he'll tucker you right out, and that's what's happening. And so we have had lots of name changes. I don't know. I think we're going to call him Bo because I've got 3 days invested in calling him Bo. But Who knows? Somebody suggested we call him Hamill after Jim Hamill from Road Track Man.
I don't know how Jim would feel about that.
I think Jim would be quite honored, but here, Hamill. No, I'm not going to call him Hamill, but he's Bo, I think.
We keep calling him different names.
So anyway, I'm sure we'll have lots more to say. You know, our question is we're going to introduce him to the Road Trek. We've got a couple trips scheduled here in the next couple of weeks, so he's going to be doing some traveling. But man, I'm not used to chasing a puppy around.
No, our last dog, like I say, 7.5 months, and our second dog, Elkie. She was very hyper. We didn't do a very good job at all of raising her. She was just totally spoiled, and she ripped wallpaper off the wall, a hole in the kitchen linoleum. I mean, her middle name was Destroyer.
I'm not looking forward to this the more I think of it. So
I mean, that dog destroyed everything.
So it's all Jennifer's part for their prayer and our kids for dropping them. They dropped them off and then they all left.
They did, didn't they? Yeah. And I'm telling you, next year they come for my birthday. If they say they're all coming back next year, they're going to have to catch me.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right, let's put you to work. It's time for your tip of the week. You ready?
I am ready.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Today's tip addresses an unpleasant subject: the stinky smell that sometimes comes from the black water waste tank on an RV. First, use a lot of water to flush. Yes, you may have to empty it more that way, but we have found mixing water by at least 2 to 1 is the easiest way to keep odor down. By that I mean, whatever you put in the toilet, put twice that much water in. We also use something called Geo Method. Essentially, this mixes 2 cups of water softener with 1 cup of household detergent in a gallon of water that we pour down the toilet often every time that we dump the black water tank. It really helps keep odor down. We use Caligan powdered water softener. It supposedly dissolves the fastest. We had trouble finding it in stores and ordered it on Amazon. They make a liquid version of this product. It may work too, though the person who told us about this stressed that we should use the powdered kind. Anyway, we've been using this concoction for a couple of years now and find it really does a nice job. One more related tip. Sometimes gunk gets caked on the black water tank after lots of use, especially if the unit hasn't been used much. If you suspect that is an issue, buy a bag of ice, drop it down the toilet, and drive around for a while. The ice bangs around in there and loosens the crud. After you think the ice has melted, flush with lots of water and then dump. That's this week's tip. If you have a tip that you'd like me to consider, just send me an email at jennifer@roadtrekking.com and see you next week.
Yeah, maybe. You sound terrible.
Well, it's a good thing you're doing this today, because I'm betting your money tomorrow I won't have any voice at all.
Well, you don't have much of a voice now. That was, even as you were sharing that, it was fading. So.
Yeah, I just got up from taking a little nap.
So why don't you, you can go out of the studio and you can take your dog with you. And
Yeah, that ought to be quite restful.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, poor little guy up.
He'll sleep at my foot. Well, thank you for your tip. That is a stinky subject.
That certainly is.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. My name is Sherry Fremming from Omaha, Nebraska, and we are awaiting the delivery of our leisure travel van Unity in April, and we've been doing a lot of research in the meantime. My question to you is, since your break-in last year, have you upgraded or done anything differently with your security in your coach, like a camera that faces the coach or anything? We decided this is something we want to do for our Unity when it arrives, and we have been looking into the Windchill Witness, Piper NB, and Blackview cameras, but just not sure what to do since we have never owned an RV before. Thanks for your help.
Well, first, congratulations. You've got a great RV coming. You're going to really enjoy that. Those folks at Leisure Travel Van, they built a great unit, and I can't wait to see pictures of it when you get it. So now, you ask about our break-in, and for those who aren't familiar, if you go back in the archives, you can learn all about that. But we had a break-in just on the Illinois side of St. Louis last fall. Somebody broke in. We had our dog Ty actually in the vehicle, but Ty was not a barker. He was just a friendly guy. And they stole everything. I mean, pretty much all of my electronic gear, computers, video gear, RVs. We were doing a story on Route 66. It was all gone. So what did we learn from that? Well, we learned that that's just stuff and you can replace it. And we have insurance. We have RV insurance. We have homeowners insurance. And most of that was all taken care of with insurance. However, it did make us start thinking about security, and we've looked into this. There are a number of solutions. Some people have commercial burglar alarms that you go to a regular, regular auto upseller or whatever you call them that sells these things and have them install it. I've heard of issues that they don't really understand RVs. They wire them up to batteries. Batteries get drained, and we've not looked into that at all. You mentioned the windshield witness dash cam is something that you were considering. That is what we have, and I was thrilled that we had it because my windshield witness, which was facing out, you can actually rotate it around. It'll face any way you want, but it was facing out, and it was on as we were having dinner. This was in broad daylight. And it got a really good photograph of the thief. There were two thieves in our vehicle, and one of them, you could see him peering in the front very clearly. I provided that photo to police, and they're using that to identify the suspect in it. And I'm delighted we have it. It also had does recording of audio, and I heard everything that the thieves were saying in there. We were very concerned because our dog was in there that these guys would have heard our dog, and it turns out they didn't. They were actually quite nice to our dog, if you can say that thieves were nice, but they were. And I speak very highly of the windshield witness dash cam. I have it on ours. I use it all the time. It gets great video as we're driving and scenic stuff. And in that case, it provides good security. However, there is a new unit out that I am going to pick up. It's $199, so it's kind of on the steep end, but it is called the Canary. And you can get that at Verizon Wireless stores. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy. This is a really neat little unit. It's very small. It's a foot or so high. It's a little black or white plastic. Has a wide angle, high def camera. It also, what I really like about this is, especially if you travel with pets, is it monitors the temperature inside your unit. So if you're worried about, you know, really hot weather and making sure your air conditioner is working and all of that, this will send you by streaming video a shot of inside your RV where you can look at your dogs, check up on your dogs, and it will show you the temperature and the humidity inside. This is a really great feature. It all works by Wi-Fi, so you have to have a Wi-Fi network. And I think many, many people are like us. Jennifer and I travel. We have the Verizon Jetpack, which sets up a Wi-Fi network whenever we're on the road. And this would just connect to that. In fact, we just saw a Canary in use at our Taquamenon Falls winter campout up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We had 50 or so people up there camping in the wintertime. And Gary Snyder from Dayton, Ohio was some of the campers up there, and he had the Canary. We were all out for dinner one night, and it was great because he just looked at his smartphone, and there was a picture transmitted to his smartphone from Canary showing his two pups and showing what was inside the vehicle. And he was, in that case, we were probably worried about getting too cold, and he had a heater on, but it was keeping everything just great. So anyway, this is a very neat unit. I have looked at others. There's a number of different similar Wi-Fi cameras that you could use in an RV. But the one that looks to me, the one that I want to get is called Canary. I have one on order, and I will do a full review on it with video as soon as it comes in. But you ask Sherry about what we learned about from our break-in and that we do want something. The question that comes to mind is if you have pets are kind of moving around, you can set this Canary to give you an alert when there's some movement in there, and it will either just send you an email or it'll grab a still picture. You can also activate, if you look and there's somebody in there, you can activate a massive siren on this thing that will go off. It has a lot of features, hence its $199 price tag, and it will work with your Wi-Fi unit. So you want to make sure that you have it set there. Now, if you're on a really tight budget, I would not recommend such a thing because, first of all, you're going to be using data It does stream video on your Wi-Fi, and you want to activate it when you're out of your vehicle for dinner or something. That's going to jump into your data usage, but still, I think it's a great trade-off, particularly if you have pets. And now that we've got this new little Norwegian elk hound, I think I will definitely have that as well. So that's coming. I should have it in a week or so, and in the next couple of issues, we'll have a note for you, and you can see what it's like. So I hope that answers your question. Sherry was the listener who phoned in that question using our leave voicemail button on the roadtrekking.com site. Thanks for that question. Here's another one that just came in.
On your checklist for preparing for a trip, you've got rope, period. This may sound like a stupid question, but what do you need rope for?
Okay, she's talking about the packing list that we have made available to those who sign up for our weekly newsletter. And I'll tell you what, even if you're just a podcast listener and you want that packing list, just send me an email, ask for it, I'll send it to you. It's just a handy little checklist that you can print out on your computer. And then every time you go on a trip, you can just go through that and make sure you don't forget anything. And yes, indeed, on that, I have rope. And there's lots of uses for rope. You can make a clothesline with rope. You might have to secure something that falls off your RV, or you want to attach something to it. You'll use rope. So rope is just a kind of a basic on-the-road survival piece of equipment that everybody should have. You don't have to take a ton of it, but you may need a clothesline. You may want to tie something up. You might have like a sleeping bag, and you might lose the tags on it. You know, those little Velcro, not those Velcro, those little elastic tags that go on it. You might want to use rope instead because it'll get it down tighter. So rope is just something that kind of everybody should have. So there you go. That's one of the things that we have on our packing list. And again, I make that available to those who sign up for our RV newsletter, which goes out every Monday. And there's a link on the Road Trekking blog for that, but you can find it. All right. So those are a couple questions that came in by voicemail. There are some email questions, and let me read one. This is from Greg from Rockford, Michigan. Greg says, we are recently retired and interested in a Class B of a shorter length for easier parking. Are there pros and cons when looking at Road Trek versus Pleasure Way and other manufacturers? How do I learn what models and years have issues when looking at earlier years? Well, that's a great question, Greg, because there are lots of choices in Class Bs, which have traditionally been called camper vans, although they look anything like that now. Very sophisticated, beautiful units now from all these different manufacturers. Lots to look at and consider. The key things that I think you need to consider when you're shopping for one are, one, and this may surprise you, the dealership network backing up that brand. How many dealers around the country, either in Canada or in the U.S., have in stock that RV? One, that will tell you where you can go for service availability as you travel. And obviously, the more dealers, the more I think that tilts for that particular brand. So check that out. How big is the manufacturer's dealer network and service centers? What's the manufacturer's reputation? How long have they been in business? How long does it take them to build a unit? Some of them only produce limited numbers. Some of them take 6 months or longer to have built. And that may be fine if that's what you want to know, but you need to ask those questions. And then I think the other thing you want to look at is the specific floor plans and the needs that you have. Do you want a king size bed? Do you want two twins? Do you want the option of going either way on those, either two twins or one king size? What do you need? A shower? Does it have to be a standalone shower? Is it a wet shower? How many chairs do you want to have, to sit around for tables? What I suggest that you do is visit an RV show and check them out. There are RV shows now pretty much every weekend in some part of the country, and often a couple of them. But let me give you a heads up, and I just learned of this in the last week. So this is the first time I've mentioned it, but it's for those of you out in the Southwest, in particular, if you can get to Phoenix, Arizona, and you're shopping or you're interested in upgrading or getting a Class B, there is a fantastic RV show that's coming March 17th through the 20th in Phoenix, Arizona, that is totally devoted to nothing but small motorhomes. Now, the weather out there has been nice, been up in the 80s, but this will be held indoors at the University of Phoenix Stadium, big stadium in Glendale, Arizona, right outside Phoenix. It's indoors, so there's no chance of it being too hot. It's all air conditioned in this stadium. And as of now, the folks at Mesa RV out there who are putting this on tell me that they will have in stock Road Trek motorhomes, motorhomes from Leisure Travel Vans, Class B motorhomes from Winnebago, Class B motorhomes from Thor Motor Coaches, all in one place under one roof. And they think that they'll have between 60 and 80 Class B style products to choose between, as well as some of the shorter Class C units. You can test drive these that weekend. And it's all of these units will be clearly priced with a bottom line sales price. And there's even going to be some pre-owned units there as well. And pre-owned units in Class Bs are very hard to find. So, you know, if you are looking for one, if you're shopping, thinking about retiring or stuff, if you can get to Phoenix, it is well worth it. And by the way, it's worth almost taking a quick little vacation there flying in, because that's, I just learned there's something like 14 Major League Baseball teams that are doing spring training down there in the desert, Cactus League, they call it. So you can catch in some MLB as well as you're down there. But that is a really, I've never heard of a show like that being held. It shows how popular Class B camper vans are held. So that's March 17th through the 20th, indoors, University of Phoenix Stadium, free parking, free admission, 9 to 7 every day, over 60 to 80 Class Bs from all these major manufacturers will be there. So you just cannot beat that. And I think I can't recommend, if you really are looking for one, go there. Go to Phoenix, March 17th through the 20th. All right, another question. This one comes from Mark, who's from Tennessee, and he says, "Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I sure enjoy your blog and podcast. I'm an old camper via a Jayco trailer, but I've decided I want to move down to a Class B motor coach." Many people would say you maybe want to move up to a Class B motor coach. But anyway, he says, "I have researched heavily the Type B RV and feel like my wife and I can make it just fine. What do you like about your unit, the Road Trek CS Adventurous XL? I plan to do boondocking and like the idea of lots of solar and battery power. Thanks for your response." Well, Mark, that's exactly why we like our CS. We've had three Road Treks now. We started off with a used one. Then we got the E-Trek as this solar technology was first introduced several years ago. And now as it's really been introduced and perfected, we upgraded to the CS a year ago, December. Why do we do that? Well, the solar. Our rooftop is covered with solar panels. We have 650 watts of solar. And we are loaded with a huge bank of lithium-ion batteries. And what this allows us to do is basically do extended off-the-grid camping. I mean, in essence, we are energy independent. We don't have to plug in for anything. It lasts a number of days. The air conditioner runs all night with our power. And one other main draw that really was a big one for Jennifer is because we like to do off-the-grid camping and we're far away often from restaurants and stores, we need lots of food storage. And the CS Adventurous has that 7-cubic-foot refrigerator. So between that and all that extra power and energy independence, that's why we picked that. So there you go. And again, you can see all that. If you can get to Phoenix from Tennessee, that's not too bad. Go, you can look at all of them. What I like about a show like that one in Phoenix I just mentioned is that you can literally go from unit to unit to unit to unit. You don't have to shop or travel between cities to get to these dealers. It's all right there into one spot. So it's great. And Phoenix in March, that's good weather. Good weather. Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast has been Van City RV. They are in St. Louis, and that's all they sell is Class B RVs. And Van City has partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas. So you get this huge inventory of Class B small motorhomes from three locations. And what I like about these guys is you can do your deal right over the phone, and then they'll fix it all up, get it all set for you. You fly in, and they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. They'll pick you up at the airport, take you where your RV will be fully prepared and all set to go. Here's Dan. Dan here, the van man, talking about what's happening this day you may want to know about.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, Dan the van man here, coming from a brand new 2016 Chinook Countryside, the new sports car and motorhomes. You can check those out at vancityrv.com or give us a call at 1-800-467-3905. We're taking orders for new leisure travels, road treks, and pleasure ways. So give us a call on those. We'll place the order for you. We want your trade. Give us a call, 1-800-467-3905.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, there is a big controversy brewing in South Dakota. And listen up, if you are one of those many RVers who use a mail forwarding service as an address for voter registration, check this out. The Rapid City Journal had a huge story on this the other day about newly introduced legislation out there that seeks to reduce the influence of nomadic RV owners on South Dakota elections. This is a pretty interesting story. State Senator Craig Tyson from Rapid City has introduced a bill that would essentially forbid the use of a mail forwarding service as an address for voter registration. It's intended, he says, to make sure that people who vote in our elections here have at least some connection to South Dakota. He said to make sure that those people who do not have a connection to South Dakota don't participate in our elections. This bill is targeting RV owners. Now, many RV owners, use a mail forwarding service, and many of them want to use that as their address, and then they establish residency in that state. So, therefore, why would you do that? Well, you would avoid property taxes, perhaps, in some states. You would avoid some big sales taxes and other things like that, that you might want to have an out-of-state registration. And we've talked to Bora what a controversy that is. But this one is pretty interesting. They're looking particularly at a Rapid City outfit known as America's Mailbox. And I think we've had the folks from America's Mailbox on this podcast before. They have their address listed as residents of nearly 3,500 RVers. So 3,500 RVers, that's a pretty big voting block in a small town like Rapid City. And those voters don't actually live at the address. They are in their RVs somewhere else in the country, but they pay that business to help them establish that postal address. And then they forward their mail, and sometimes they assist with other things like driver's licenses from South Dakota or vehicle registration or concealed weapon permits, stuff like that. America's Mailbox and other businesses like this, including other firms throughout South Dakota, ostensibly serve people who travel year-round in their RVs and then others who live nomadic lifestyles without a fixed home. Now, this state rep in South Dakota says that many of those customers are merely using South Dakota for its lack of a state income tax and low fees for vehicle registration and other services. Duh, you think so? Yeah, of course they are. Well, the problem is that he sees a potential for such people to exert outside influence on South Dakota elections. And in fact, he cites a big issue they had last month. They had a county wheel tax referendum when some observers noted that America's Mailbox customers would be highly motivated to vote against the imposition of up to $60 in new annual taxes on vehicles. So anyway, that, by the way, that whole thing went down statewide, and the 3,500 people there who did vote overwhelmingly no, by the way, but it did not, it didn't really have any input. The thing went down to resounding defeat. But it's an interesting one. For those of you who have tried to get around the steep taxes and stuff in your own home states by registering out of state, like in North Dakota, this new bill, if it's passed, says that no person may register to vote using a business location, campground, or post office box as a registration address. And if people wishing to register to vote have no other residential address, then they have to appeal to the county auditor. And naturally, the folks who have those mail forwarding companies think that that's crazy. the guy who runs America's Mailbox, a guy named Don Humes, defends the right of his customers to register to vote in that county. He says that they bring thousands of dollars in extra revenue to the county and the state through vehicle licensing and registration fees. They deserve a say in ballot issues that affect them. Quote, he says, I'm surprised any politicians would tell any citizen of the United States that they shouldn't be allowed to vote. So this controversy, this bill is proposed. There'll be lots more of it. And you can bet that this is being watched in other states like Montana and other states that have a lot of people from the RV community registering their addresses there as well. So South Dakota, we'll see where that one goes. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi hydronic system brings so many features and benefits not found in any other product. That's why a number of different RV manufacturers are jumping aboard and bringing the Aldi system into their units. Why? Well, for first of all, if you've ever been in an RV that has forced air, it's noisy. I mean, it's irritatingly noisy when that heat's on. The Aldi hydronic system is silent. It's a radiant heat. It provides this warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets. And it's great for humans, too. You save interior space because you essentially combine your hot water system with your heating system. It's efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. And that extends the life of your propane, Aldi says, by about 40% over forced air. And there's all these options you can get. The one Jennifer and I have, heated floors. We love our Aldi heated floors, especially when you get up in the middle of the night in those cold early spring mornings. And we've done it in the wintertime. We've used it down when we camp in the wintertime. And that heat is so nice. That floor heat, you can get tank heating. You can get four-season camping with that. You can get the engine heat to kind of work through the system as well. There's towel warmers, all sorts of stuff. Aldi, available on a number of different RV manufacturing platforms. You check it out, A-L-D-E. It is the only name that you need to know when you're choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Well, this is the section I was talking about very early, where I think you are going to find a lot of very valuable information. If you have a smartphone, and just about everybody in the RV community certainly does, you got it loaded with apps. We use it as we travel to stay in touch, to find out information. But we all can learn some other factors and how to make it more efficient. I thought I was a pretty good expert on mine. I think I was the first person in the country. Seriously, I really was. Retail, because I did it live on TV, to buy a iPhone when it came out in 2007. So I figured I know everything there is about the iPhone. And then I do a lot of testing of Android phones as well. I know everything about that. Well, our expert today is sure put me to shame, because he has so many awesome tips. Now, I will put the tips, some of the tips that he says, you can find them if you forget them, because we're going to go through them fairly quick. There'll be a list of them on the show notes page for this episode, and you can get to that at roadtrekking.com/75. But our guest is Steve Caruso. He is the director of digital development for the EGC Group, and that is a Manhattan advertising agency. And Steve is a specialist when it comes to hacking or finding tips to make our smartphones more efficient. So without any further ado, let me bring on Steve Caruso. Steve joins us right now from New York City. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I am doing terrific. Well, you know, if there's any group of people who are avid smartphone users, it is probably the audience of this podcast. Most of them are RVers, outdoor people, campers, and they love to use those smartphones, and they use them to stay in touch with family and friends and all the things everybody does, but they also become kind of a lifeline to them. So these hacks that you have for us are going to be a big help. Why don't you just stop right in and tell us some of the things that we can do to make our smartphones a little more efficient?
Sure. So as you said, you know, they become an extension of yourself almost. You don't want to be disconnected from your phone or your family. So really, there's a lot of things you can do just to preserve the, you know, the amount of battery life or the data usage, just really to, you know, keep everything moving and get as much as you can, especially if you're out camping in the wilderness. You want to, you know, get the phone really powered up and moving. So one of the things you can do for both Android and iOS is you could change the phone's wallpaper background. Let's say you're out in the middle of nowhere, camping, you know, hiking, you get lost. You want to be able for to have people get in touch with you if there's an emergency, or get in touch with your loved ones, I should say, if there's an emergency. So one really quick way to do that is to write down an emergency contact number, take a photo of it, and make that your lock screen wallpaper. iOS also has a feature where you can do an emergency contact, which is right on the lock screen. If you click that, it basically pulls up the phone pad to call, but there's also a little piece of text in the corner. It says medical ID. And right there, you can put your blood type, emergency contacts, who your spouse is. So that's really, I think that's a game changer. And also the standard one is using the ICE contact in your phone address book, which yep. is in case of emergency.
And that would work on any platform. But I didn't realize, I'm a big time Apple fanboy, and I didn't realize that that's what that medical ID was for. And that's for iOS. Does Android have a similar feature?
I don't know if they have that on Android. I haven't used an Android device regularly, probably in a couple of years. I use it for testing websites mostly, but I know the. I'm sure they have something similar, whether it's an app or part of the OS or the hardware itself or the phone.
That's great. So I changed the wallpaper. What are some of the other things we can do?
Okay, so use a lot of data these days. For things like Skype, like we're doing, and Periscope, and data is leaking out of your phone like constantly. So it's you want to try and preserve some of that. So you can set a limit for yourself, like a hard limit on Android and iOS. You could set up warnings for yourself to notify when you're getting near your limit. And one thing you could also do on iOS, you can see, and I'm sure Android has the same exact thing, is you can see what apps are hogging the most data. Normally, it's apps like Facebook. Mm. That's a big one. Instagram is pretty good. Instagram actually, the way the app is built is that it loads things much more in advance than you realize. So even if you just open up the app and you're looking at the first picture in your feed, it's already loaded a whole bunch of stuff right after that, because that's how they keep it moving and keeping you interested and locked into your feed. So they load a lot of stuff. So really, you can check your apps, the data usage, and same thing for battery as well. And usually in the settings, there's a feature where it'll show you games are a big one because they're always pulling in ads from ad networks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just realizing this is such a great tip because the biggest complaint I hear from people is I'm using up my monthly data allocation with streaming stuff, and probably people are totally unaware that they've got Facebook open, they've got Instagram open, and there goes their Zeta just whoosh, right past, right down the tube.
Yeah, and one way to squash that, actually, if you're really in a pinch, both for data and battery, is to flip on iOS, they have airplane mode, where it basically shuts off data and Wi-Fi and everything. So it basically puts a phone into standby mode. And one benefit of that is it also stops those ad networks from being able to call out and pull down the ad. So if you want to play a game and you don't feel like looking at ads, you just flip on airplane mode, and that will stop that.
That's a great tip. What about some of the other ones? Lots of our people, are always complaining about their batteries running out. What kind of things can we do there?
Okay, so one of the things that they just introduced for both iPhone and Android is kind of like a low power mode setting. iPhone, it actually says low power mode in the settings in the battery, in the settings menu.
Mm-hmm.
And Android just introduced Doze, which puts the phone in standby mode when it's totally idle. So that's a little different. You can't just flip that on the way you can with iPhone. But Doze actually, if you just put your phone down and leave it, meaning it cannot be in your pocket, you can't be moving around, it'll put the phone into standby mode and save battery life. We talked about putting the emergency contact on there, but also one way to preserve your battery life on iOS is to turn off the parallax effect that they have. So if you look at your background wallpaper, It kind of moves separately from the icons, and that's called they call it reduce motion in the settings menu. And Android, likewise, they have animated wallpapers that you can use, like, you know, like a fish tank or you know, burning fire, you know, things like that. Those absolutely kill your battery, so you want to take those off if you're trying to keep your charge going. So if you're camping and you know you're going to be away for a weekend or a week, you know, switch to like an all black wallpaper or something that's not too colorful. Things like that you don't realize make a big difference.
Wow. How about, here's a question about GPS. All of our phones, all of our smartphones have location services or GPS. How does that affect our data use? Is there something we could do about that?
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a hog. So that's one of the things I always try to turn off when I'm not using it. So I use Google Maps, I use Waze, a few other apps like that. You know, I use it for my commutes, but if I'm out camping or hiking, you know, you want those maps because you want to be able to see where you're going. But at the same time, you don't want to kill your data, especially if you're up in a mountain area. I know, like upstate New York over here, there's literally no signal anywhere for coverage. So one of the things you could do, and they've just introduced this in the last year or two, is like Google Maps. You can download the maps ahead of time. They have offline maps. So you want to keep those handy, especially if you already know where you're going. Do that, and don't waste your data, because you'll definitely run out. It'll just keep cycling, looking for a signal, and that absolutely kills your battery.
That's a good one. And then we all have, our phones are loaded with apps. Some of them are on all the time. You've mentioned making sure we turn off things like Facebook or Instagram. But what other advice do you have for all the apps we have? What can we do about that?
Okay, so apps, again, you want to check to see in the settings menu which ones are using the most data and battery. Because otherwise, you know, there's a few that really don't make much of a difference. But what you can do in iOS is you could turn off background app refresh. So basically, if you're not using the app, it's not going to be using your data. So only if you click on it to open it, that's when it starts using it. Likewise for location, they have location services. So you want to put this little caveat, not every app has this ability, but you could have it set to only use location services while you're in the app. So for things you don't realize, like for apps like Yelp and Swarm, things that are location-based, like, you know, like restaurant things, those are always using your data because they want to know where you are. Shopkick also is another one. So you want to make sure those are set to only use your location services while you're in the app.
What about free apps versus paid apps? I have heard some advice that free isn't necessarily as free as you think.
That's true, yes. And that ties back to what I mentioned earlier about the ads. A lot of apps, especially free games, they're deceptive, you know, because they have to make profit somehow. So one way they do that is by serving you ads nonstop, whether it's a video ad, even just a small banner ad. It's constantly calling out to those networks, those ad networks, to pull that data back to your phone to serve that ad. So as I mentioned earlier, you can turn on airplane mode to shut that off if you don't want to pay for the app. Or you can just buy the app, buy the I don't want to call it the pro version, but the full version of the app. You know, they usually, it'll say in the app store, it'll say ad-free in parentheses. And those are the ones you want to go to if you feel like springing for that. You know, some call it a luxury, but, you know, it depends on what your usage is.
So buying a full service app usually is ad-free. And that's, besides not being irritated with ads, the real benefit of that then is that it's not constantly draining your battery by going out and downloading streaming ads from the various servers. I've never thought of it in that way. I mean, nobody likes ads, but I thought they were just a genuine irritation. But they're more than that. They steal my money.
Yeah, and actually, I should also, another caveat there is not every paid app is totally ad-free. So do a little research first before you buy that app to make sure you're getting what you think you're getting.
Here's a question, and I don't know if you've got a tip about this, but when you're in an emergency situation, or you're in a situation where you really got to get a hold of somebody, or you're just feeling insecure, you got no bars on your phone, but the phone's working. Sometimes it comes in and out. Is there anything that we could do about that?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways to make an emergency call on your phone when you don't have a network. And one of them is 112. So that's they call it the International Common Emergency Number. So that will pick up any available service that your phone can find.
Even from another carrier. Even from another carrier.
Yes. So, and that works, I believe that works in most countries around the world.
So dial 112, make mm-hmm. sure I got this right. Even when I have no bars, and it will then look out of my network and it'll find another signal that I can access.
Correct.
That's I never knew that. I never knew that.
Yeah, it's definitely handy in a pinch. You know, it's a little different for us in the US. You know, we're constantly used to 911. You know, that's an easy one to remember. So you have to be able to remember 112, but it'll definitely get you out of a pinch.
How about charging our phones? Anything to speed up that process? You know, we're always running out of data and we quickly plug it in, but is there any way to, sometimes it takes a long time to get it all charged.
Yeah, so airplane mode, which we've mentioned a few times, very handy feature, I guess. That will, again, put your phone into standby mode and let the battery charge faster because it's not using your network, the apps are all basically, you know, everything's in standby mode, so it's not going to be calling out. Android, again, has Doze, which is another feature. But again, you have to leave that phone basically flat on a table and not touch it in order for it to charge. So those are two ways to get the battery to charge faster. And also, one other tip, and I've discovered this recently the hard way, is definitely don't buy cheap cords because they do not charge as fast. Yeah, I've noticed it recently in my commute. You know, using a GPS I've been using Waze. So if I'm not plugged in, that's going to suck my battery. But with these cheap knockoff cords, you see them on Amazon. They're like $3 a cord, $4 a cord. You would think they'd still work fine, but they do not charge as fast as the regular standard high-end cords.
You see them often at campgrounds and the stores or at truck stops.
They have them at 7-Elevens here. Yeah. They're good in a pinch, but again, if you're using a GPS and something that's heavy for battery drainage, it's not going to, it's like basically swimming upstream. It's not going to help you.
That's good. One last question. It has to do with kind of a pet peeve of mine, and that is browsing the web on my smartphone. You'll almost always go to the mobile app. They seem to just recognize your mobile, but sometimes you want to see the whole thing, so you can then find a way you can click that little button and see the full app, the full normal version that you'd get from a desktop or a laptop. But is there any advantage to using the mobile other than maybe it loads just a little faster? Is there any reason that we should look at the way we browse from our smartphones?
As a web developer, I could tell you that we definitely streamline websites to load faster on mobile devices. So there's things that we disable, like videos. Both Android and iOS actually disable auto-playing videos on websites by default. It's a hardware limitation now. Frustrating as a developer, but also great for users of mobile websites. It just keeps everything... you know, moving fast, we compress the graphics, reduce the amount of JavaScript calls, and everything else on a mobile website will definitely, use less data and also less battery.
So that will save us some stuff. Correct. Well, you have been an absolute wealth of information, Steve Castro. I am going to link to some of these tips. We'll put them in the show notes section for this.
Great.
And man, I'm going to bring you back sometime and talk about tablet use for us too. But I think many of these would apply to tablet as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, most of them do apply. There's a few that are only for phones, but yeah, most of them you can try on tablet.
All right, if you had to pick one mobile app from your smartphone, you mentioned a couple of them. You mentioned Waze and Yelp and others, but anything that maybe we've never heard of before that you've seen is out there? What's your favorite app that we ought to look at?
My favorite app, actually one that I use the most besides the normal social stuff, is Swarm. I used to be a big Foursquare user, and I moved over to Swarm when they separated it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people dropped off, but I use it to keep track of where I've been with my family on vacations. We check in everywhere, so I can look back at my check-in history and say, oh, you know, remember we were here on this day, or where was that place that we ate? You know, I checked in there, so I know where it was and when it was, and maybe I left a tip there. So that's one of my favorite apps.
Swarm would be a great, it's almost like a little journal that you can make as you travel across the country.
Yeah, it's great for
traveling. Well, I will link to Swarm as well. And my goodness, you have been a wealth of information. Our listeners are going to be delighted to take these tips and put them in practice and save data and make more efficient use of their smartphones while on the road. Steve Castro, thanks for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
This portion of the RV podcast is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, which operates America's most reliable wireless network with more than 112 million retail connections nationwide. Have you heard about freebie data? F-R-E-E-B-E-E data? It's a new sponsored data service from Verizon. With the introduction of freebie data, Verizon plans to make it easier for customers to enjoy greater flexibility when streaming or downloading content on their mobile devices. And here's how it works. As consumers have become more selective about how they use their data plans to get content on their mobile devices, Verizon's sponsored data plan service allows participating brands and content providers to build smarter mobile marketing campaigns in exchange for sponsoring data on Verizon's postpaid customers' network. Consumers get great content from participating brands without having to use their data plans. Content providers can sign up to provide consumers some or all of their mobile content, whether in an app or a mobile website, or they can sponsor specific consumer actions on a per-click basis, making mobile video clips, audio streaming, and app downloads. Last month, Verizon rolled out a beta version of this service to test subscribers, and it has now plans to extend the service later this year. If you want to learn more about freebie data by Verizon, visit verizonwireless.com/news. verizonwireless.com/news. Free B data. New from Verizon.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, we have a great Off the Beaten Path deal here. If you, and we all travel, right? We all got these cool places that we see. I'm not talking about the big ones that are in all the guidebooks, you know, the big attractions. I'm talking about the stuff that you kind of discover serendipity out there as you travel the highways and byways of North America. If you have one, phone it in and use the leave voicemail link on roadtrekking.com. It's over on the right-hand side of your screen when you get to the blog, roadtrekking.com. And you can just use your computer microphone. It will show you how to do it. It's very, very simple. And you can just record that. If I use it on the program, I will send you a free road trekking hat. And that's what I did with our contributor this week. It's one of our regulars for this Off of the Beaten Path series, Tom Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer, and all our road trekking friends. If you're up near Niagara Falls or even hanging out around the Finger Lakes area, you'll probably enjoy a trip to Eden, New York to visit the original kazoo factory. You step into a shop that hasn't changed in a century, still using the exact same equipment to make the exact same product. Slip one between your lips and start humming to discover a great new sensation or remember one from your past. The tour is informal, mostly just wandering around on the small factory floor to see the machines in operation. Many of the workers are second and third generation at their jobs. Eden is less than an hour south of Buffalo on US 62 and not far off Interstate 90. Their kazoo boutique has many sizes and shapes, and a whole kazoo band can fit in your pocket. It makes a pretty entertaining campfire activity if you hand them around. About an hour down the road from Eden, you'll find Chautauqua, New York. Every summer, thousands of people gather here for lectures, discussions, concerts, worship series, and vacations. It's a beautiful collection of old homes along a hillside above the lake, most of them lovingly restored or maintained. In the off-season, it's a sleepy place to visit, and there's a nice campground next door. If you're around this area in the summer, don't miss out on the numerous pick-your-own berry farms in the area. Blackberries, raspberries, and blueberries thrive in this climate. One of our favorites is Blueberry Ridge Farm near Lawton's. All organic and all delicious. Over the years, we've spent weeks wandering this area of New York, and we still find something new and interesting almost every time we go. We hope you...
Well, thank you. I got cut off at the end there. Tom Burkett, who phoned in that Off the Beaten Path report. And again, Tom is a regular contributor, but we would love to hear you too, because you find all these great places. When you do, just send it in with that leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com travel blog.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road
Trekking. Well, thank you all so much for being a part of this podcast. Our tips with Steve Crusoe will, on those cell phone tips, your smartphone tips, those will all be linked, as well as everything else you heard us talk about, links to everything we talked about on our show notes page. You just go to roadtrekking.com/75. That's the number of this episode, the 75th episode of the podcast. Can you believe that? Seems like time has just flown by, both for this episode and for all the previous ones as well. I want to thank you for being a part of this. We have a new episode every single Wednesday released through roadtrekking.com, but you can have advance notice of that if you subscribe by iTunes. Just go to iTunes. You can find a link on the roadtrekking.com blog, and you just hit subscribe, and you'll be able to know in that little podcast app on your smartphone or your tablet, and then you'll have it all ready to go and listen to every time it is released on Wednesday morning. We appreciate all your reviews. Thank you for those 5-star reviews. They really help us get noticed in the crowded category of podcasts these days. Seems like everybody's doing a podcast. I want to thank you for putting us in your ear, and we'll see you next Wednesday on Road Trekking, the RV podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.